College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some March Madness. And, you know, when you look at the Sweet 16, it doesn't scream Cinderella. Obviously, only one, 11th seed in there, NC State. But, man, let's not forget already, even though it was Thursday and Friday, the first round. I mean, we had a bunch of multiple 11s. The 12s were pissed off that I was talking shit about them. They came back on Friday. We literally had three 11 seeds, had a huge upset with Oakland over Kentucky and Yale over Auburn. The SEC in the first round, some of those high seeds were kind of shocking. And what do you know? The ACC, 4 out of 16, and they only lost one game. So that's pretty damn impressive. We'll kind of go over that stuff and kind of over the weekend. Saturday was much funner than Sunday, per se, because we had a bunch of overtime games and it still had some upsets or whatever. But here we are. We're going to predict then the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. So we'll come with our final four, by the end, the preview and picks and all that good stuff. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to blogtalkropeadope if you don't want to. You can find this here College Ball Show under Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Download the podcast app, Player FM, Google Podcast, Podbay, Podtail, and a host of other places. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more quick message from DirecTV Stream. Here's the action. Here comes the action. Well, it's already here. Don't miss a moment of the men's college basketball tournament, and women's for that matter, with the DirecTV Stream Plus. Save $30. Also, MLB is right around the corner. DirecTV Stream carries the most local MLB games. Of course, there's no annual contract. No hidden fees. It says play ball. There's for a limited time, $98.99 a month for the first 3 months when you sign up for DirecTV Stream and get the choice package. The first month of DirecTV Sports Pack in general is on us. That's a $15 savings. Choose the DirecTV Stream package that's right for you. This is that limited time $30 entertainment plus sports pack, $84.98. Check it out, DirecTV Stream. Okay, so let's go ahead and bring in Marshall into the fold. It really came down to we were talking about chalk stuff, and there was times where I'm just like, God, I feel bad about, chalking it here, chalking it there. And once we get to the Sweet 16, a lot of it is chalk. Which lines up some great matchups that involves Blue Bloods and all that. But like I said in the intro, we can't forget about rounds, round one, Thursday and Friday. There was some crazy stuff that happened. First and foremost, though, fill us in on how your annual trip went, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, my friend. Memphis treated us well. That city's obviously got a bit of history. It's maybe not the tourist location of like a San Diego or Nashville, but I thought the people there were really welcoming. I had good food. Downtown was just kind of had a nice vibe to it. So I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know when next time I'll be back, but Memphis treated me well, so I can't say a bad word about the city. The trip itself, it's the first time I'm wearing my Duke Sucks shirt and got like no comments. Like, that wasn't really a sports bar town. We were struggling to find like good waitresses and like the TV setups. That's more of like, I think like a
good waitresses to talk shit back and forth. You're saying
just the service in general is a bit lacking, but
Hey, this isn't a Yelp review. Okay.
I know. So, but overall I had fun. You can tell it's just like a sports bar downtown. I think they're more of like a music vibe kind of place, but we made it work. We made it work and it was fun. The 6 hour drive back home. Oh, dude, that, you wake up.
Didn't
and you
go as quick
good
on the way there.
What
I said, it didn't go as quick on the way there as on the way back.
I sucked it up and left at like 4:30 Thursday, you know, so I was out there quick, and then, but after 4 days of having some fun, that stomach starts to give, and, you know, that drive home was, I've had better drives. But nonetheless, hey, I got to enjoy a lot of college basketball, and I'm here to talk about it. Of a couple of my few predictions, I did say Florida would win their first game. They came up just a bit short. And then the Grand Canyon Lopes, man, I did bet them, and they took care of business. They almost gave Bam a little run for it. So a couple of predictions are still alive, Chris. So yeah, it's March Madness. We got a very fun weekend coming up too.
Yeah, and did you bet Florida? You're saying?
No, that was just, remember, I'm on the show. I was like,
we made a bunch of predictions.
Oh yeah, well,
that's all we did was predict.
My two blind ones, well, before the bracket, I should say.
Sorry. Right.
Before the bracket, I said, let's bet Florida first round. Let's bet Lopes first round. Obviously, Florida losing that center really hurt them. And my final four, the prediction I made for my final four over a month ago of Arizona, FAU, UConn, and Houston. Hey, I still got three out of the four left. So I'm sitting all right there. So FAU, damn, what the, good God, that was a choke of a game. But nonetheless, three out of four of my blind calls, man, I did okay.
Yeah, definitely. And just kind of talking about Thursday, I mean, we almost got Kansas upset. That came down to a, was it a block or was it a foul? Most people thought it was a block. If you look at the you know, what the score was at that point, it definitely would have kept, you know, things alive, let's say. It was, Kansas was up 90-89 with 15 seconds left. So, obviously, that played into that a whole lot. But, yeah, I mean, that Thursday, Oakland, major upset over Wally World Part 2. A 28-year-old guy out there shooting the lights out. I'm just playing. He does look old, though. They kept showing shots of him. Like, man, that guy, this is like college hockey sometimes when you get those, the guys that go to the minors and then come back.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, yeah. This dude's 24. If now this COVID year, too, I've seen multiple football and basketball of late with this COVID year. But that dude went off, hit, you know, all those threes. I think there was a stat he only dribbled three times on those threes too, which makes it even, you know, talk about catch and shoot and just taking the right type of threes. But yeah, Samford almost pulled up the upset, but BYU went down as a high seed to a team that you know, we were hard on them and they slapped us in the face, okay? So I got to give them respect, but BYU was a team that we talked about a lot during the year. They got beat. You know, the Gamecocks got beat. I mean, 3-11 seeds, NC State won, but 3-11 seeds just right there, that big-ass 17-point comeback from Dayton, that was pretty freaking huge. So that Thursday, and then when you get to Friday, man, Yale over Auburn. Didn't see that one coming at all. The Badgers losing to JMU's not a shocker. Your Grand Canyon, you know, pulled that upset over a quality St. Mary's club. And that Colorado-Florida game, 102-100, that was a really good game. And even that overtime, you know, that FAU-Northwestern game, I mean, that was just an ugly game for most of it. But Northwestern just found a way to all of a sudden find some offense, and that's what ended up, you know, getting a job done in OT.
Yeah, it was such a weird ending to that game in regulation because it was a tied game, and John L. Davis, my guy, he had the ball come up the court with like 8 seconds to go.
Did he think there was 10 extra seconds or something?
He walked it up the court.
Nonchalant.
A Damian Lillard, like, step back three, but you ain't Dame, and, like, two hands were contesting it, like, two guys. That was so weird to have a mental gaffe like that. So I don't know. And then in OT, they didn't have a chance. So that one, I felt bad for FAU there. But, hey, you came back for your run, and you never found your rhythm this year. So that's tough. Oregon, I'll have to remember this. We all bet it on the trip. That head coach is now like 11-2 in his first-round games. So whatever Oregon does, now they haven't won a Final Four, but they're a first round buzzsaw. And for Dayton, I remember we were watching that one. And when you're down like 14 with under like 6 minutes to go and you just start busting threes, that's kind of why we really enjoy March Madness, Chris. That game was, I mean, Dayton prior to the 17-0 run, they were pretty cold. You know, I was like, okay, well, yeah, Dayton, Nevada kind of going back and forth to who's going to handle the game. And for like the first 10 minutes of the second half, Nevada seemed pretty in control. And then you just saw an absolute meltdown, which does occur. But that's why we love March Madness. And Texas Tech, we all bet that one. We all failed miserably on that bet. It does appear that if you win your conference tournament and you weren't expected to do it, it either propels you into March or it kind of sinks you and you're done after it. NC State definitely got propelled into March, Chris. You know, you've heard the theories of, are you playing too many games in too many days? You know, or did you hit your peak? Now you're going to crash down. That was not the case for the Wolfpack. Because Texas Tech had a pretty good year. They were a small favorite in that game. But NC State, for the whole game, they were literally in control the whole game. I never even got a chance to, like, wash my bet. The Wolfpack took all that energy from the ACC and are still alive and kicking. So, you know, it seems like it's a 50-50 coin flip. But for them, Chris, what a momentum boost, because they were not going to make the tournament if they had not cut down the nets and beat my Tar Heels in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, I know, right? That's pretty freaking huge. And just talking about that upset of BYU, the Dukes, and I forgot that was their last name, but I just saw a lot of information after that. I want to give them some credit because we were pretty hard on them. But 9 straight wins after that upset, that Dambrot, I think his name is. Dambrot. He's retiring at the end of the year. It's their first tournament win in 55 years. And kind of a, you know, they haven't even been to the tournament since 1977. Myron Medcalf, a local guy here that, you know, works for ESPN, he does play-by-play radio and all that, he said, and this is kind of cool with LeBron in there because he had a big tweet too. He said, so 20 years after LeBron completes his first year in the NBA, his high school coach and high school teammates lead them, like, since 1977. Now, it's the first tournament win since 1969. In the Star Wars bronze shoots. It's just kind of cool that the guys, you know, going to retire and they get a nice dub. And like I said, I kind of felt bad because we were pretty hard on them. Another thing that in Utah, right? So the March Madness Wi-Fi access, right? So for the media in Utah, right? So, you know, you got to think 98 finals, right? With Utah and the Bulls. Their code, the wireless network, well, it wasn't the code, but the wireless network was Jordan pushed off. That's just funny. And some media members like, oh, they're not bitter at all, are they? So that was pretty freaking funny. And that, was it Kusnard or whatever, 38 points? I mean, he just went nuts. The last player for Oregon, the last player with 38 points in a win by a double-digit seed was in 2008 by good old Steph Curry. But, yeah, that Dayton put together a 20-2 run in the last 5:44 to get there. That was that was impressive, man. I was pretty shocked at that. That Jack Golic, dude, 10-20, second most made threes in tournament history. He had 32 points, like I said, 3 dribbles or whatever, which is just a crazy stat. And then, as I mentioned, Northwestern scored 19 points in 20 minutes in the first half and then 19 points in 5 minutes in OT. I mean, talk about the complete opposite game. But on Friday, that Colorado-Florida game was really fun. I thought that was a pretty competitive game the whole time. I definitely liked those first 2 rounds because, like I said, it was a blend of close games. Some of them were just straight blowouts, obviously, that you even mentioned about the point spreads and all that. But we got so many. And like I said, the Grand Canyon and JMU for the 12 seeds, I don't know if that 12 seed stat's going to hold up. Those are two quality 12 seeds, if you know what I mean. So, but they did strike. But on Friday or Thursday alone, just to repeat it, three freaking 11 seeds, dude. I mean, that was a fun first 2 days as we get into the round of 32, my friend.
Yeah, it really was. Overall, I mean, you had high scoring games, low scoring games. It was a very solid opening 2 days. I did watch New Mexico, who, again, they won their conference tournament, complete opposite effect. They looked like they didn't want to be there. That team was out of sorts. Clemson took care of business. I watched that game in person. That was a pretty hard game to watch because it really wasn't a game. So, again, that was an example of
– I was pretty surprised Clemson went that far, is here where it is.
Yeah, and also UAB. You got hot. You won the American Conference. You make it in, but yet you bounced out by San Diego State. So, again, we had a perfect example of teams who were making it and, you know, teams who were on a hot streak, and it's kind of 50-50. My only thing for Friday, then we'll get to the weekend, is it doesn't surprise me with Auburn. Maybe I just watched them at the exact right times this year.
By Yale?
I know. I'm saying whenever I watch that team play, they just looked like really hopeless. But then every time I would watch them play, they would drop like 100 and beat a team like that's a ranked SEC opponent. So in the back of my head, I was like, dude, this Auburn team ain't that good. Because every time I watched them, it was like they'd have a bad performance. So, and I know obviously the record 27-8 shows they were a legit team, but I guess I saw the glimpses of their issues. And again, Yale was a team who barely won the Ivy League because they almost choked away. So,
I mean, that's a shocker. I don't care what you think of Auburn.
Oh, it's a bad loss, 100%. They had no business doing it, but I'm just not surprised just because I saw the shades of that team. I saw the bad shade, and I mean, that's an awful loss no matter what. Tough one for Bruce Pearl because they were, you know, I'm sure a lot of people had them going pretty deep, at least prior to the Sweet 16, and that didn't happen. So, I don't know. I should have bet on Yale. I should have believed in my Auburn hatership this year and should have bet on Yale because that would have been probably a really nice pad. I think that was like a 9 to 11 point spread. So I guess I should have been a little more confident in myself. And then
eight
once
wins by double digits in the first round. And if you look at the 64, Big 12 was 5-3. Pac-12 was 4-0. ACC was 4-0. Big 10 was 4-2. Big East was 3-0 at the time. It's a notable results anyway. The SEC, you know, 3-5, Mountain West 2-3.
And as we go from there, before we get into the weekend, the ACC, man, give them credit. That is the one weird thing where you've really thought about the last handful of years, Chris, about how you'd be like, man, during the regular season, the Big Ten, like, because I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, the Big Ten was like the top of the top dog conference. But then they go into March Madness and they struggle. This year, the SEC was top dog conference going to March Madness and struggle. Like, you know, the Mountain West, it does seem like sometimes the conferences that have the best regular seasons, it doesn't always translate. And not that Auburn's not a good team, because obviously they were, but I think it really just goes to show that when you get into the March Madness, you're playing schools you probably, like literally by rule, you've never seen before. They're probably, you know, probably weren't on your scouting report. And it's just so many different styles. So I would say the SEC probably was maybe the best conference this year along with the Big 12. But it doesn't matter because the teams you play are like an Ivy League team or, you know, I guess I'm torn. Like, you do have to give them credit. Like, the Big 12 had an amazing year this year, beyond amazing, and those teams deserve to make it. But I don't know if that like a slap in the face to what y'all accomplished? No. I just think the sport of March Madness is so beautiful, Chris, that even if your conference had a great regular season or a bad regular season, once you get into March, a lot of that stuff doesn't matter. I know it does affect where your seat is, but I think it would be kind of weird to say, oh, dude, the SEC choked. It's like, no, I just think that's the beautiful part of March Madness. I don't know. What do you think on that?
Well, it kind of matters because I've heard you – it matters what conference you're talking about because I've heard you say they did choke, you know,
but
before
I'm just saying,
past, so, you know.
And I just think after all these years, it keeps, whether it has been the Big Ten, the Big East, or SEC, it's like, you know, if you went 27-8 like Auburn, you know, you had a great regular season. So did you, is the season on a blemish now because you lost to Yale? I guess I've become less strict on it because it seems to happen every year where one of the top two conferences each year has a really poor March Madness, but then a smaller tier conference has a great one. So, it's just.
Well, I wouldn't even say smaller tier because the ACC is not a small conference, you know? I would say this. It does happen a fair amount. Now, the more teams you're going to get in, the more chance you have to win, but the more chance you have to lose, right?
Yeah.
I think the ACC highlights even more than the Big 12 this year because of those losses in the first round, you know, and who they lost to. You know, that, to me, that stands out as like, wow, dude, that's a bad loss. I mean, Oakland and Yale, especially Yale, but just in general, those, that's bad. You know what I mean? Now, Oregon losing this, beating South Carolina, that's not crazy. You know what I mean? But sometimes it comes down to matchups. So, yeah, you're not going to have an overall better winning percentage if you get eight teams in compared to six per se. It's harder. But what I think is, if you are a team that was in the SEC or the Big 12 and you do make it, I think that's where the week in and week out battles will pay off, right? I think that plays into that.
That's a good way to
put
it.
In the same breath, yeah, it happens almost every year. And it's not like we were touting, and even with your North Carolina club, first of all, we didn't tout Clemson at all. And we didn't tout the ACC either. We weren't saying, nobody's looking at this conference, this is bullshit, blah, blah. We weren't saying that all year either. So, but yeah, it is. That's what makes it interesting. And, you know, sometimes you get a lot of, you know, sometimes you'll get four in out of 16, sometimes just two. But, yeah, it is. That's kind of the beauty. That's kind of the beauty of the whole tournament, really. I mean, that was phenomenal. The ratings were huge so far. And the most watched, the first day, that Saturday, go figure, was the most the round of 32, the first day of the round of 32 was the largest rating they've gotten in March Madness history. So now I'll say this, the new ratings in the last few years with Nielsen does count like bars now. So that's something that they never counted before out of. So when you're at a bar now, it's just like a household where they don't have the Nielsen stuff hooked up to every bar. Right. This is an average. They install them in certain bars and then they take the average of it. But that does help in general. But still, that's why it kind of plays out perfectly. And the one thing about having too many, crazy teams in the Sweet 16, then it does tend to have blowouts in the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? Where you're like, ooh, that kind of sucked, you know? But yeah, that Saturday, even though it was wild, a bunch of the favorites, you know, won. So, kind of crazy, man. Kind of crazy. But but you're right. That's why we talk regular season. But then once that puppy starts, you just don't know. You really don't know. Let's get into Saturday and Sunday, though.
For Saturday, my Carolina boys made me sweat for the first 10 minutes of that game versus Sparty. Sparty was shooting like 78%. I was losing my damn mind and swearing a lot. But then Carolina said, nah, dude, we got you. Don't worry. We're going to Sweet 16. So they did. Arizona basically had control of Dayton from the tip. Iowa State, a team that, again, won their conference tournament, used that for motivation, played in a low-scoring affair, advances, and Tennessee and Texas, dude, that was, I know I'm not a fan of Texas, but that was just an ugly basketball game. I'm not going to say it was elite defense. It was really poor offense. But the Tennessee Volunteers did enough.
Yeah, they didn't play good, and they were able to get through, which kind of makes me think, that's kind of interesting, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
usually when they suck like that, they're going to lose the game.
True. Who has been averaging, seems to be averaging like 30 points a game of late, He dropped 18-9. He did enough, but man, that Texas-Tennessee game, it was close the whole way through, but that was not a Golden State Warriors-esque offensive performance. That was two defenses who were doing their part. Two offenses couldn't shoot, but Tennessee survived past Texas, my friend.
Yeah, and let's talk about it in general. Like you said, that they snuck by him. Zags, you know, obviously the Jayhawks weren't the same team. Year, you'd say in general, but they, you know, they came in a little shorthanded, and they got beat up against the Zags. Shouts out to the Zags, where it looked like this may be their worst year, and they're back, you know, they're back in the Sweet 16 no matter what, you know, we say. But that freaking that double overtime game, man, with NC State and Oakland, you know, that overtime part, there was like probably right around the 2-minute mark, NC State goes on a 9-1 run, gets it up to 77-70, and slowly but surely puts that away. Yeah, they used an 11-1 run in OT to win 79-73. It's their first Sweet 16 since 2015. And like you said, that's a team that, you know, you got to keep that rule in if you win your tournament, because, you know, they definitely wouldn't have got in, or at least, you know, it appears that way, right? So, and then Creighton, Oregon, man, for a while I thought Oregon was going to win that game, dude. I really did.
Yeah, same.
It seemed like they had a better day. It just seemed like the bigs were just the offensive rebounds. They just kept getting these nasty putback dunks or just alley-oops where it'd be, you know, just drive, get attention, put it up to someone or an open three or whatever. But, you know, Creighton and that Ashworth dude, 10 out of the, 19 points in OT, that was impressive. Cause like I said, that day, it looked pretty crazy. And that Kosnert, again, in that Dante, 60 points, 28 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 made, 6 threes, 4 blocks. No other Division I team duo in the last 25 years has put all those numbers in any game, NCAA tournament or otherwise. And they still end up losing the game, you know? So that was pretty shocking to me.
Yeah, that was a tough one for them. But that just, and again, comes down to just a lot of times you just wonder, like, what is the coach drawing up? And I know that you never want to obviously take a last shot and then give the team time to get the ball back. But with college basketball being not the skill set of these pro NBA players, you see so many times from college basketball, the guys wait, but then you literally wait too long. Because I don't care who you are, unless you have a guy like Stephen Curry, a step back three is never a great shot. So in that Oregon Creighton game, both in the end of the first OT and then regulation, both those teams wasted opportunities of just really poorly designed plays. And again, I know the coach said, we got to take the last shot. We can't give him the ball back. I get that. But dude, let him get the ball back with a second or two left. If that leads to you putting up a better shot or having more time, it's just you pull your hair out, especially if you're a fan of these teams, Chris, where your last shot is like a step back or John L. Davis having a brain cramp, or it's like, man, you know, and even NBA guys make the mistakes too, but not as often as college.
Yeah, you see it in college more, for sure.
Yeah. But that's why we love the sport. I guess my last two notes for that Saturday were that KU-Kansas game. KU was up 1.5. And then Gonzaga went on like a 22-2 run, and that shit was done fast. So, and Illinois was like, Duquesne, we like your story. We know you've won 9 in a row, but we're going to wax you this first half. But that's what a 3-seed should do versus an 11, in theory. And they took care of business. So,
and I guess. Yeah, no doubt about it. And that Marquette-Colorado game was – that was a good game. Houston, that Aggie game, that was a good game in overtime, 100-95. Like the Clemson, what was it, Clemson over Baylor? We talked about that before we hit record. I think that was the only upset of the upset on Sunday, wasn't it? I believe.
Yeah, Chalk took care of business on Sunday. Literally every main seed won, and really they all won pretty comfortably. I know Grand Canyon Bam was kind of close in the first half, but it never got super, super tight. Right. San Diego State showed Yale, like, why you're an Ivy League school. Like, and as they should. And UConn, again, hey, don't even let a team breathe. Put your foot down. You win the first half 40-18. Don't give them a chance. So, and Purdue, I should have thought this out more, Chris. I should have thought that, hey, they're going to be on a war path for this first week because they don't want to embarrass themselves again. Purdue easily covered the spread Friday and Sunday. I should have been behind that. I'm not a Purdue guy, but just common sense. Like, I think that coach said, hey, put your foot down on the gas. We're not taking the foot off the gas until we get to the Sweet 16. And it showed. I'm not saying they wrapped the score. I mean, I think they pulled the guys out. But I think there was kind of a team mindset of, hey, we're not having the same shit happen last year that happened this year. Let's make sure we don't even give these teams a chance to breathe. That Utah State game versus Purdue was close on Sunday for like the first 6 minutes, and then it was done.
Yeah, I got a still shot of Zach on the bench, and there's like 6 minutes to play. It's 89-50. And he's the first player with 50 points and 35 rebounds through two games of the tournament since 1995, Antonio McDice for Alabama, who went on to Denver and whatnot, Detroit and whatnot. But, yeah, that I agree. And, you know, we'll obviously get into Purdue here in a little bit in the Sweet 16 and whatnot, but it is interesting. Like, if you can really bother those guards – you got a chance, but if you bother the guards, you have to have somebody that's going to at least, you know, hang with the big guy. But, yeah, I mean, even talking about that Houston game, they gave up like a 12-point lead, didn't they? Wasn't it like 11 or 12-point lead?
Oh, it was 12 with like under – it was under four timeout. They almost let that one slip.
Yeah, they really did.
And their foul trouble, again, as I told you, as we were talking about last few weeks, they've had a lot of depth issues, especially to their bigs. Their four of their starters fouled out of that game. So Shed, I've called him Sheet all year, Shed, was the only guy literally left in that lineup in OT. So hats off to Shed, their Houston point guard, for running that show, because in OT, literally A&M was like, all right, dude, we know you got the ball. Let's see if you can beat us. And whether it was him driving, him going to the free throw line, him hitting an open cutter, that dude stepped it up because their second, third, and fourth best players were all fouled out of the game and started a second OT. So that was a marvelous performance by a guy. When the whole court knows you're the only guy that can score, that's some crazy shit, because they had to sub a guy in, Chris, who ended up getting fouled. This dude had played, I think he had like, my buddy looked up, he'd shot the ball like five times all year. And he's going to the free throw line for free throws in OT when it's like a one possession game. Like, I think homeboy had 4 points the whole season, and he made one out of two. He did his part, but you look at the program, you're like, I haven't seen that guy play all year. So my buddy Ian looked up. Well, he's got like four shot attempts, like two free throws on the season. So, hey, good luck when your whole season's on the line right now in double OT.
Yeah. Right.
You really talk about the depth, but hey, that's what good teams do. You find a way to win when the situations are bad.
And now that we're in the Sweet 16 area, start to predict this stuff, the most Sweet 16 appearances by schools since the tournament expanded from 32 teams to 64, well, more now, but to 64 back then. That was in 1975. Your North Kakalaka Tar Heels, 31 of them. Duke, 28, Kentucky, 27, Kansas, 23, and UCLA, UCLA, has 22. Pretty interesting there. And then also, you know, the net rating always gets a lot of either, yeah, dude, we're going to go buy it, or there's some funky stuff where you beat a bad team and all of a sudden your rating goes up overnight, but it has to do with what other teams did. And it is kind of funky, but if you look at 14 out of the 16, if you look at the NCAA net rankings, right, 14 of the Sweet 16 were from the final net top 20, including 10 of the top 11 and 12 of the top 14. The only ones outside were Clemson and NC State. So, say what you want about the net rating. They're not going to get it right every time by any stretch, and I'm not saying that. But, you know, I think KenPom net rating, I think a blend of stuff always is pretty nice. But if you look at it here after those two rounds, right, if you just look at, you know, by the conference, the big ones anyway, ACC 8-1, Big 12 7-6, Big East, I mean, they had a hell of a tournament. Right? Because there was a Big East team that lost before the tournament started, you know, before the first round. So they ended up, you know, they have, you know, three teams in. Those three teams are 6-0. Big Ten, 6-4, Mountain West, 4-5, Pac-12, 6-3, and the SEC, 5-6. So 7-6 and 5-6. Big 12, 7-6, just barely winning record, right? And then under 500, 5-6. So something to, you know, something to keep in mind. Kind of interesting how it all played out. So let's start. I think we should do like pick, like kind of go bracket like we've done in the past, where we start in the East and kind of pick that Sweet 16 and then pick the Elite Eight game too. Just so we don't get too confused. Is that cool?
Yeah, that works for me, yeah.
So we got, you know, UConn, San Diego State. Obviously, you know, I think a lot of folks are pretty much, you know, UConn is just freaking so strong, man. I mean, they have a 10.5 points favorite in this game. Whereas right now I'm looking at it's Iowa State, 1.5 over Illinois. That's clearly, no surprise here, the better game on paper. Now, could San Diego, could you take a flyer out on, you know, if it gets to like 11.5 or something like that, and just maybe buy to, you know, plus 13 or something like that? I mean, you could. You know, it would be the silliest thing to do. You never know. And UConn's kind of due for like a whatever performance. But, you know, I think we're both going with UConn here. The big matchup, like I said, the tight one on paper is Illinois-Iowa State.
Yeah, I think this is a situation of one team has an elite offense, one team has an elite defense. One team's offense, and then vice versa. Iowa State's offense ain't that hot as shit, and Illinois doesn't play defense. So, it's kind of like you have the same situations in football games, where do you trust the Ray Lewis defense or like the Randy Moss offense, you know? For this situation, again, if you look at what they accomplished during the regular season, that would lead you to Iowa State just because they had a little more of a prettier resume. But I'm going to take Illinois, Chris, just because I think they have a star player in Shannon, and I think they're going to score enough to where Iowa State's going to have to get out of their bubble a little bit and try to match them for score. I'm going to take Illinois. But I think you'll know the winner of this game. If you took the team names off the scoreboard and posted the final score, the where the score ends up will tell you who won. If this game's in the 50s or 60s, Iowa State's going to win. If this game's in the 80s, I tip to Illinois. I know I'm being kind of predictable there, but I'm going to take the offense in Illinois in a higher scoring matchup, and I don't think Iowa State can match their offensive pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, a player like against Morehead State, a player with a triple double and then two other players, you know, putting up 20 points. That hasn't been done since Michigan in 1987. Yeah, you're right. It's offense against defense. And you know, Iowa State now has been to the Sweet 16 two out of the last 3 years. So, this is a tight game. The odds, you know, are close. If you look at like who could win the championship, Iowa State's, you know, plus 2000, Illinois plus 3200. Because, you know, we all know who's next, but I don't know, like Illinois, like you said, the KenPom number one adjusted offense. Now they have the number one at 126.7. and the fourth highest in the KenPom era, and the three others made the title game. Now, that's just a stat. We can't live and die by him. But I just think, yeah, they have too much talent. They can play good enough defense in spurts. Like you said, they're definitely not known for their defense. But I think they can just do enough in Iowa State. I just don't think they – I just like Illinois' talent as well. I think UConn's going to do it, or Illinois is going to do it. So Illinois and UConn, I'm picking UConn, but I'm going to really keep an eye on what the point spread of this game is, because I could see, you know, a point where, like you said, they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of firepower. I could see them keeping that a very competitive game, and UConn's kind of due for that, you know, but I will pick UConn. Which isn't a big shocker, I know.
Yeah, I'm going to follow suit. I do think if UConn plays their A game, they still are the best team in the tournament this year, and they showed that during the regular season. And again, if you're going to match scoring for scoring, like, dude, UConn's offense, they're going to hit their threes, and they have a decent center too. So I think that'll be a fun one, but I'm with you. I'll take UConn over the Fighting Illini. So we're on the same there. But yeah, if UConn goes out, dude, that's why we love March Madness. But I would expect them to come out of that region, my friend.
Yeah.
As we scroll down, this thing, I know my favorite team's in it, my pride and joy, besides like the Dallas Cowboys, the Carolina Tar Heels, probably my second team I've loved my entire life. So I'm a fan. I'm a diehard. But I literally think any four of these teams can come out of this region. I think Carolina could kill Alabama. I think Carolina could lose to Alabama. Alabama this year went 3-9 against the top 25 this year, and they were crap outside of Tuscaloosa. Like, I want my Tar Heels to win.
Are you saying these two teams or any of the teams in the West?
I think any of the four honestly could. Okay. Because I think you've saw glimpses this year of what Carolina shows, but they're not right. Like that Carolina team that can win that I've bragged about in the years prior. I think they could beat Bama. And, you know, and Bama's really had a pretty easy road so far. Well, Charleston made him work. But anyway, so I think I'm going to cheer for Carolina, hope they win. I think they will. But if Bama drops like 97, we drop 94, would I be shocked? No. In the bottom tier, I've seen Arizona have way too many hiccups this year, Chris. Again, yeah. I think they win. But if they have a hiccup, which they can do, and this Clemson team is playing some ball like they played at the start of the year when they were ranked in the top 15, playing that defense.
And they were, you know, leading the ACC there for a while, right there for second anyway.
I mean, New Mexico had some NBA potential players. They shut their ass down. And Baylor's offense really never got into a rhythm the whole game. I know they kind of made it closer at the end, but Clemson's playing good ball. So would it shock me to see Arizona lose? Not at all. Again, I think any of these four teams can win the region, but I'm going to pick Arizona and UNC to have that Caleb Love, RJ Davis, little post-girlfriend rematch-up. That could be a feud kind of game. That's my prediction. But, again, I think any four can truly win. I wouldn't make a confident bet on this region. I'll cheer with my heart. And I think Arizona just has one of their days where they drop 97 and Clemson can't quite match them.
You know, I'm picking the same thing. Pretty boring, but to your point, I really do think not only will these be high-scoring games because, you know, of who's in the game, you know, the matchups, sure. But I do actually I don't agree. I'm pretty confident in Arizona over Clemson, okay. But I agree with, you know, North Carolina, Alabama. It's not a pick 'em game, but it, you know, once you're in the 90s, dude, anything can happen because you start dropping points. And, you know, so I agree with both of these, especially the North Carolina-Alabama game. These are going to be freaking good-ass high-scoring games and just entertaining. From an entertainment standpoint, yes. And one of these games is going to come down to the last 90 seconds or something like that. But, you know, we're kind of chalked, but good-ass games, like we've said. I'm not going to feel too guilty this week like I did last week, though, because as it turned out, we were pretty right, which a lot of people were, about how chalk some of this is going to be, but it's setting up good games. But I'm right there with you. And just to be different, I'm going to go against you, right? I'm going to pick Arizona over North Carolina But I'm not really going all the way against you because that is one of your squads to make the Final Four, man. So I'm kind of helping you out, dude.
I obviously will be cheering for my baby blue. Again, if you didn't know the story, Caleb Love, who hit the huge shot that beat Duke a couple years ago to end Coach K's career, him and R.J. Davis, who's the other Carolina point guards, had a hell of a year. So an ex-girlfriend left one teammate and started dating another. Many believe that's the reason why Caleb Love went to Arizona. So that's probably a bit of bad blood. I don't know if that's been sewn over the year. But it would be quite a rematch because both those guys have had tremendous seasons. Aside from whatever drama off the court, they've both really kind of carried their teams this year offensively. And you have Baycott, who's a big for Carolina, who's their one center. But then Arizona's got like 3 7-foot bakes. So I think that'd be a tremendously fun game to watch on Saturday. I'll probably be having a couple of drinks in my hand. My body needs to recover from Memphis very quickly. And actually, I just found out that our softball game tomorrow night, is supposed to be at 7:30. Now it's at 5. So I'll be locked in easily in time for Carolina tomorrow night. So that makes me happy. But I will take my baby blue. Again, the over-under for that game is going to be high. Bama North Carolina will have a high over-under. So will North Carolina and Arizona because both those teams love to run and try to outscore you. And it could maybe get a little personal of a who can drop more of a R.J. Davis or Caleb Love match. Could maybe cause the guy to have a bad game or not. Who knows? But I'll take my baby blue to advance and face UConn in the big Carolina.
That didn't sound too good, did it?
I had to bite my tongue there, sir.
You're like, oh, just envisioning.
Can we transfer sides? Can we do a redraw, please?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I actually heard a bunch of people talking about that. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. So we'll start. We'll go. What are we going to do? We're going to go.
To a school.
Oh, yeah. Houston, the South. Yeah, we'll go South.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to go to this game, but damn, this whole SeatGeek Ticketmaster era, I would have to pay $270 for the biggest nosebleed seat in the arena. I wish this game was at the Cowboys Stadium, but $270 for an upper deck row for Houston Duke, I'm not willing to pay it unless I hit a lottery ticket tonight, which maybe I should go buy some. Houston plays Duke in Dallas in my backyard on Friday. We got the day off for Good Friday, but I don't think I'm going unless my co-host sends me a nice little Venmo, which you're allowed to do, Chris, if you feel the need to. I won't be patiently waiting on that.
I wouldn't wait too long. Don't hold your breath, like the old saying says.
So
unless you got really good lungs or something, like your mom.
I'll probably be watching that from the couch. Although I might like to go scalp. But sometimes you never know, scalping a ticket sometimes can surprise you. So, with that being said, I think Houston is by far.
We don't do that, though. He was just kidding. No. We don't do that.
That was a joke. Yes, you're right. Houston's playing Duke. I think Houston's had the much better season. They're the more physical team. They're the more dominant team. But Duke is here. They're a team that kind of got ripped apart. There was a couple weeks where Phil Pekowski was kind of the bad guy in the news. But aside from, I'm not really talking mess here, but Duke losing to Carolina, they really did take care of business besides their losses to UNC. So I think that they've kind of found their groove. I just think when you have Shedd and LJ Cryer and Stokes, who hit like 7 threes for Houston, I just think Houston's a deeper team. I think they take care of Duke, and I'm not going to pick Duke to win anyway. So I'll take the Houston Cougars, who are one of my Final Four picks. And for NC State Marquette, you can't say the title run is over because they're here. They're in the Sweet 16. They've been balling out like NC State. They're playing like they started last season. And Marquette, now that Kolick is back and healthy, they found their groove too. I think if you're going off resume, Marquette has had a better season. But March Madness is March Madness. I'm taking the ACC boys to win this part of the region. So I'll take Wolfpack against Houston Cougars for the Elite Eight matchup in the South, my friend.
Yeah, and I just like Houston in general. Most people do to get to the Final Four or whatever. But, I'm definitely going Houston. And so you're picking NC State.
Yes, sir.
Over Marquette.
Yeah,
and you know that's what is a 6.5 point spread. That, you know, that might be something you want to look into.
True.
And John Rothstein said, well, he said, what did he say about it? You can take whatever point guard you want to run your team. I'm taking Tyler Kolek 7 days a week and twice on Sundays. So far in two games, 19.5 points, 11 assists, and 5 boards. So, I mean, I'm not just basing it off that tweet or whatever, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, that dude in the middle, he's got that point guard-ish vibe to him because he does really make their team run. And they are a good team. They're a very good team. But I am going to go Marquette to get the job done there. And then I will be picking Houston to advance to the Final Four, sir.
Yes, the Wolfpack's run ends and Houston advances to the Final Four. I thought that was a gut check to finish off the A&M, and I think that motivates them. And I think they'll outdraw Duke, obviously, for this game in Dallas. Again, maybe I'll win a lottery and go and just wear my Duke Sucks shirt and make a scene out of it. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. But I have Houston going to the Final Four as well. So we have Houston, Carolina, and UConn. And that leads us to the bottom.
Like the most. Well, wait. I had Arizona beating North
Carolina. Oh, sorry. You're right. So not. But
I know we. I had to mix it up somehow.
True, but lots of low digit numbers. That leads us to the final Midwest bracket. Purdue Gonzaga. Purdue is playing much better basketball. I don't think this Zags team is their typical Zags team. I know they did run Kansas out the gym in the second half of that game, but it was also tied in the first. I mean, the few times I've seen Gonzaga play this year, Chris, they don't look like world beaters. Are they a good team? Yes. Are they a top, like, A-level tier team? No, I don't think they are. And KU was kind of in a funk, and McNeese just, obviously, Will Wade was 1 foot out the door going to wherever he's going to go. So I do think there may be a little overvalued now. I'm going to take Purdue to take care of business as they continue their redemption tour. And for Creighton versus Rocky Top, I think this game is a complete pick 'em because both these teams at times this year, Chris, have shown how they can be elite, and then they have that hiccup game. And they're really both showing that consistently, being inconsistently consistently good, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think this game is a complete coin flip. I will take Tennessee, and that's like a flip of a quarter. I think this should be evenly matched, very fun game. Both teams have a go-to player. Creighton's got the center. Dalton connects for Tennessee. I'm just going to take Rocky Top Volunteers, and part of this is because my good sister's, she's a huge Tennessee fan. I just think it should be a fun one. So I'll take Tennessee to play Purdue in the Elite Eight in the Midwest.
Yeah, and like you said, we've been talking about the Gonzaga team, you know, all year. That, and by the way, 24 straight tournaments, 9 straight Sweet 16s. You know, that's awesome.
Yes.
But the fact that you, for the most part, have to really show so much attention to produce big guy Eddie, and the difference is they got shooters this year. They're one of the best shooting 3-point, you know, teams. I think it's number 3 or something like that. I know last year they went like 5 of 27 or something. I got the screenshot here. 5 of 26 against Fairleigh Dickinson, you know, when they got beat or whatever. But
yeah,
the only thing you can do is just really apply a ton of pressure to those guards, like I mentioned earlier. You have to, but then that leaves, you know, that means you have to have someone go one-on-one. And he can get to the free throw line. So he fouls out your guys, whether they're big or mid-sized and guys that are 6'6", but play bigger or whatever.
True.
So I'm going Purdue. And, you know, in my bracket that, like the one I have left that's doing good, I have Tennessee advancing. And I think the way they finished that regular season, Marshall, was damn good, dude. But just something tells me I'm going Creighton in this one. So I have Purdue and Creighton, and then I'm going to mix it up. In this bracket, I have Tennessee going to the Final Four. I have Purdue beating Creighton in the Elite.
I will take it to and I will take – actually, I'll see the upset. I think that Purdue's run ends again, and they do not make the Final Four. So I will take the – God, I'm saying Rick Barnes, good Lord, over Matt Painter.
That plays into it too.
Those are two coaches my best friend rips all the time. I'm taking Tennessee to make the Final Four, and they'll be playing Houston as I have my Carolina Tar Heels. You have to pull the bootstraps up and take care of UConn.
There you have it. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
So on that note, thanks for listening. We appreciate your support. Hey, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got some good games. It is chalky, but that means the game should be some wonderful matchups. And we'll be back next week to break it all down. Hopefully my Tar Heels are still alive and kicking and Duke is playing golf. Until then, we appreciate support. The boys are out this afternoon. Peace.